Frozen in Time by Ali Sparks, Chapter 7. "I hope you don't mind sharing," said Rachel as she showed Polly into her bedroom, which was at the front of Darkwood House, overlooking the driveway and the 5-bar gate that led out onto the lane. "There are other rooms, but they're a bit dusty and old. There's a spare bed that comes out from under mine. It's really nice," she explained, pulling out the red mattress on the low frame on little wheels. "I've used it for sleepovers and it's comfy." Polly gazed all around her. She said nothing. Rachel's heart suddenly thudded with realisation. "Oh, was this your room before?" "Yes," whispered Polly. "I'm sorry. It must be really weird seeing all my stuff in it." Rachel glanced around at her books and stuffed toys and clothes and teen dolls all mixed up with magazines and CDs for her mini sound system, her digital camera, the fibre optic lamp in the corner and the yellow bead blinds that hung over the high sash window, matching the lemon paint on her walls and the duvet cover on her high pine cabin bed. She saw it with different eyes now. "What was it like in yesterday? "It was green," said Polly, softly, her eyes travelling the walls. "Wavy green leaves on the wallpaper and cream paint on the ceiling." She glanced up to the white ceiling, which had yellow and orange stars randomly painted on it, at the yellow glass bead lampshade over the light, and then across to the window. "With a dressing table there, by the sash, a glass-topped one. I had a silver-backed brush and comb set on it, and a mirror on a stand, and a pot of Yardley's face cream. There was an oak tallboy near the door. My bed was where yours is, but a proper iron-framed bed with a lace counterpane and on the eiderdown. I had my dolls on a shelf. Miss Rosebud used to sit on my bed. She's my favourite doll, of course. I'm a bit old for dolls now, really, but Freddie laughs at me, but I do love at her." "Oh, I love dolls too," said Rachel cheerfully, although it wasn't strictly true. She quite liked dolls, but certainly didn't love them. She'd pretty much grown out of them a year or more ago. She seized one now, though, to show to Polly. It was Ritzy, the Chats doll, one of a collection of funky teenage figures with oversized eyes, glossy pouting lips and dreadlocked hair. This one wore hot pants and a crop top and leather-look boots. The designers had given her a navel with its own piercing, and she came with a choice of belly button rings and studs. Polly took the doll in her hands, eyes wide. "She doesn't look like a little girl at all. She's got a bosom. Oh, and someone stuck a pin in her tummy. How horrid." "No, that's..." Rachel trailed off. Polly didn't even have pierced ears, she could see. This was going to take a while to explain. She changed the subject. "I'm sure we've got lots in common," she chirruped. "What's your school like? Was it nice?" "I bet you had a horrible maths teacher. Every school has a horrible maths teacher." "We went to boarding school," said Polly, so Father could concentrate on his work. "We didn't mind. Grange Court was all right. The girls were mostly quite decent, although you had to fag for the older ones, and that was jolly hard work when I first went." "Fag?" Rachel queried. "You know, do all their chores for them, because I was in the first year, of course. It's to teach you your place, and how to shine shoes and sew and all that. Just because we're at boarding school, it doesn't mean we all have butlers, you know. We don't have anyone at home except Mrs. M, and she only comes in 3 times a week. But you're right, mathematics is ghastly. I detest it. Mr. Bulford is awful whenever I get my times tables wrong, and I'm wrong a lot. Freddie's good at maths, of course, and sport and all that boy stuff, but I'm a total clot when it comes to that kind of thing. I'm good at English, though, and domestic science. I can make hot pot and neck of lamb and all sorts." Rachel noticed how Polly kept saying is instead of was and have instead of had. Maybe she still thought it was all a bad dream and she'd wake up tomorrow, back in 1956, in time to go to Hillary's party after all. "Oh, I've read this. I just love this." Polly pulled a dusty red book off Rachel's shelf, beaming. "It was 5 Go to Smuggler's Top. I'm in the famous 5 fan club. Are you? I've got the badge. It costs a shilling to join and you get a special letter and your badge. Enid Blyton is just super. I mean, gosh, to think. You've got this book after all this time. It's just like the one I had. It's..." She paused, opening the cover, and then gasped. "It is mine!" She showed Rachel the neat, rounded writing in blue ink on the first page. "This book belongs to Pauline Emerson." "Wow," said Rachel. "I never thought I'd get to meet the girl who first got that book." "Do you have any more?" asked Polly, looking eager and bright for the first time. Yes, I think so. Downstairs, mostly. I've kind of moved on from Enid Blyton now, confessed Rachel. More into Mags, really. Mags? Who's Mags? She can't be better than the Enid. No, laughed Rachel. Magazines. Like this. She handed Sweet over to Polly, a flimsy cluster of luridly coloured pages all about the latest music in the charts, pop groups, girl bands, boy bands, film stars and celebrity stuff. The front cover featured a sulky-looking pop starlet, her tanned arms around the neck of a boy band star who was wearing only jeans. Polly stared at it, her mouth dropping open in shock, and went crimson. Next to the photo were the words, Jamie Rice, how snoggable is he? Polly read the words, mouthing them silently, and then stared up at Rachel. Does your father let you read this? She looked absolutely appalled, and Rachel began to shuffle, embarrassed, on her wood-effect flooring. Listed down the front page, you could see further shocks in store for Polly. Step into sexy summer swimsuits, had Polly's hand flying to her mouth, and does my bum look big in this, had her eyes ready to pop out of their sockets. Didn't you have magazines like this, she asked, feeling particularly self-conscious. Well, I get girl, of course, said Polly, still staring at Sweet as if it was the work of the devil, but that's nothing like this. What is it like? Asked Rachel, taking Sweet out of Polly's hands and tucking it hurriedly under her bed with Miss and Gem and other shocking publications. It's super, full of adventure stories like Wendy and Jinx and Belle of the Ballet. They have the most amazing things happen to them, and they certainly don't worry about the size of their backsides. I love them. I always wanted to have adventures and amazing things happening to me. She trailed off, gulping, and her round blue eyes fixed upon Rachel with a wet glitter. And now I've got my wish. This used to be Father's room, said Freddie, as soon as he stepped into Ben's bedroom. It was a wide room with a double sash window which overlooked the wild garden and the woods beyond. Ben slept in the top of the metal bunk bed. The floor was covered in blue carpet and drifts of Star Wars Lego, and luminous glow-in-the-dark planets were stuck all over the ceiling. Ben kept meaning to take them down. He was 13 now, after all, and they'd gone up when he was 6, but he still liked the way they glowed gently in the night. This must be really weird for you, said Ben. What did it look like? Freddie shrugged. Cream and beige, oak stuff, ghastly old curtains, which must have been there since 1900, I reckon. It's better now, I can tell you. That bed is a whizzer. Can I have top bunk? Well, Ben shuffled awkwardly, it's kind of my bed. It's got all my books and stuff on the shelf. Freddie grinned. It's all right, you clod. I'm just joshing you. I'll be perfectly happy in the bottom bunk. I say, this is going to be fantastically odd. Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow in 309. 3009. Maybe you will too. Ben sat down on the spinning metal seat, which went with his white desk unit, also covered in Star Wars Lego. He stared at his great uncle. You really are something, he shook his head. You're just super cool about this, aren't you? Certainly have been, said Freddie, opening the built-in wardrobe and eyeing Ben's clothes and shoes. Super cooling is part of the process. That's how Father put us to sleep. Did you ever think that was, a bit dodgy, him putting you to sleep like that? Freddie shrugged. It was the obvious thing to do. He needed to do research, and it's no good always doing it with rats and dogs. He only did it after he was absolutely certain it was safe. We didn't mind. He never put us in any danger. Ben found it hard to agree. What if those cryonic torpedoes things had gone wrong? Freddie and Polly would surely have suffocated. He'd never get away with it today, he said. Social services would be round before you could blink. Mind you, I bet there's not a parent alive that wouldn't hope it could work. I mean, my mum and dad often talk about how great it would be to put us to sleep, in long car journeys mostly. They say they're like a glass screen to slide up between the front seats and the back seat, and some kind of gas to pump in, so as soon as we went, are we nearly? They could freeze us. 5 hours later, when the car got to Cornwall, they'd just hit the defrost button and we'd go, there yet? Freddie chuckled. That would be the tops. Imagine, I could freeze Polly and never have to hear her drooling over Miss Rosebud all the way to the seaside. When we find Father, I'm going to get him to invent that. It'd sound like hotcakes. Good grief. Is this yours? He pulled a hanger out from which dangled a colourful floral Hawaiian-style shirt, which Ben had worn to a beach barbecue last summer. Freddie was looking at it incredulously. It's your mother's, right, in the wrong wardrobe. Ben bit his lip. Didn't you ever see Elvis in that kind of gear? Freddie squinted at him. Elvis? Yeah, Elvis. Don't tell me you've never heard of Elvis Presley. Freddie stuffed the shirt back into the wardrobe. Elvis Presley? Oh, that Elvis. Yes, I've heard of him. He's an American, isn't he? I think he's doing quite well in the popular music charts with this song. Top 10, I think. My chum, Frankie's got the record. I think he's whizzer. He does this lunatic dance to it, all hips wiggling and stuff. What's it called? Something about a hotel, I think. Heartbreak Hotel, said Ben at once. He wasn't really into Elvis, but his mum had a Best of Elvis CD, which she sometimes played at parties. Yes, that's it. Gosh, he must have made it to number one then. Father thought he was dreadful. I thought he was a bit of a peacock, really. He sounds as if he's being hit in the chest with a road drill. Did he do well then? Ben laughed. You have no idea. Well, I can see I'm going to have to go back down the hatch, said Freddie, closing the wardrobe door decisively. There's no way I'm wearing your stuff, honestly. Your clothes are all shiny, like girls' clothes. I prefer to look like a boy. With a haircut like that, retorted Ben, you look like the Prince of Wales. And trust me, that is not a look you want nowadays. His own hair was a fairly credible mess. In spite of all the drama of the past couple of hours, Freddie's straight, dark, brown hair was still neatly parted to one side. Anyway, that's just party gear. I normally wear t-shirts and jeans. Don't you have any jeans? Freddie shrugged. Not me. Some of the town boys do, but Father says they're working men's trousers. I think they're right. They're all right, actually. Wouldn't mind some. The Americans wear them all the time, according to Poll. She wants some. Do you think she'll be okay? Said Ben. Polly seemed very young compared to Rachel, even though he now knew they were about the same age. What, Poll? Certainly. She's tough as old boots, that girl. She'll stop the bubbling soon and start having fun. She's just worried about Father. Aren't you? Asked Ben. He knew he would have been bubbling worse than Polly if his father had vanished without trace and was wanted for murder. Freddie stood up straight and shoved his hands deep into the pockets of his grey flannel shorts. As I see it, this is a mystery, he said. Nobody knows anything for sure, so what's the point of bubbling about it? I want to find out what's happened to him, of course, but even if he's still alive, he'll be, what, 90? 100? 91, said Freddie. And he is still alive, I'm certain of it. I'll get a good night's sleep and some decent food in me. That's if you still have decent food these days. And then I'm going to search for him. First thing in the morning until I find him. Emerson's don't give up. That's what Father always said, and that's why he did such amazing things. You wait, Ben. You'll see. I'll find him. Emerson's don't give up. Ben nodded, impressed. You're not really like a teenager, are you? He said, folding his arms and peering at Freddie. What's a teenager supposed to be like? Asked Freddie. Ben opened his mouth to answer, but then he was silenced by the door being bashed open violently and Polly hurtling in, followed by a confused-looking Rachel. "Freddie!" yelled Polly in panic. "Freddie! We've got to go back down now! Oh, Freddie! We forgot Bess!"